Let us all open our Bibles today to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John, chapter 17. These words spake Jesus. That refers to the words our Lord had spoken in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of this gospel. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, and now begins his prayer. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast sent me be with me where I am, that I may behold my glory, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. When we read this prayer, we realize that it is one like no other. And as an introduction to my message this morning, I want to mention four things quickly about this prayer. First, this prayer is not only that of a sinless man, for you will not hear him confessing sin, asking for forgiveness of trespasses, as in the model prayer that he taught us to pray. But this prayer is not only of a sinless man, this is the prayer of a man who is God in the flesh. Because here is one who says, Father, I will. He expresses his will to the Father in verse 22. And second, this prayer is to his Father, to whom he at this point stood as God's righteous servant. He came into this world as God's righteous servant. A servant serves. And the Lord Jesus Christ declared he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And third, this prayer was prayed on the eve of him leaving this world. If you look back in chapter 16, at one verse, chapter 16 and verse 28, he said to his disciples, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. This prayer prayed on the eve of his leaving this world to go back to the Father. And fourth, this prayer is for a particular group of people. They are identified all through the prayer as the men thou gavest me out of the world. Even though this term especially applies to the 12 apostles, it cannot be limited to them. Because the Lord Jesus declares in verse 20, if you look there again, he said, neither pray I for these, that is the 12, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Do you believe on Christ this morning through his word, or their word rather, the word of these apostles? They're the ones who God inspired to write the scriptures that speak to us of Christ. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed for them also, for you, for me, for all of those who believe on him through their word, the word of God that was given through the apostles. But this must also not only The men which thou gavest me out of the world, it not only refers to the 12, but it also refers to all the election of grace. All of the election of grace were given to Christ out of the world, and they were all given to him to be his bride, to be members of his body, to be sheep of his hand, and to be his portion. So there's four things that I wanted to mention about this prayer, and what a wonderful prayer it is. I read through it again this past week, and I counted 9 times that the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have. 2 of these are in the same verse, and we will look at them together. So, I have 8 points. We'll look at the 8 verses where the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have. You see, the gospel is all about him and what he has done. Amen. He is the gospel. He is the good news. Amen. I have. The first two are found in verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Why did God create man? Why did God create man? He created man for his own glory, for God's glory. God created man for his glory. The first man, Adam, that he placed upon this earth, we know that he disobeyed God. He failed to glorify God. God created him perfect, but mutable. Immutability is an attribute that is peculiar to God. Only God, he's the only being who is immutable. He cannot change. Man was created perfect in the image of God, but not immutable. And we know that he failed, he sinned, he disobeyed God, he did not glorify God. And the scriptures tell us, as by one man's disobedience, and that's what it was. It was disobedience. He disobeyed his maker. He disobeyed his kind benefactor. He disobeyed him who had provided everything for him, everything that he could need, want, or desire. And yet, in the face of that, man disobeyed God. And by one man's disobedience, the apostle tells us, many, all that he represented, were made sinners, and he represented all men. So by the obedience of one, and that one is Christ, who is the second Adam, the second man, so by the obedience of one shall the many be made righteous. I have glorified thee on the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ lived, he moved, he did everything for his Father's glory. Everything. He never entertained a thought. He never spoke a word. He never went anywhere, never did anything that was not all for his Father's glory. He said, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Did you know the first recorded words that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ? He spoke them at the age of 12 in the temple, and this is what he said: "I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business." He came into this world to glorify God. In the prophecy, it was written of him, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." And in John chapter 8 and verse 29, he said, "I do always those things that please him." We were singing that hymn just a few moments ago, "Like a river glorious, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed." And I could not help but think to myself, would to God I could be stayed on Jehovah. Always, always stayed upon Jehovah. Then I wouldn't have the worries and the cares and things that I experience if I could truly just stay upon Jehovah. That's where hearts are fully blessed. But the Lord Jesus Christ did. He did. He said, "I do always the things that please him." And he glorified the Father. This verse says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." He glorified the Father in finishing the work which the Father gave him to do. He did not try to to glorify the Father, he glorified the Father. He did not try to finish the work which the Father gave him to do. He finished the work which the Father gave him to do. He did not try to save those that the Father gave unto him in that eternal covenant of grace. He saved those that the Father gave unto him. Every precept of the law, every command of God's holy law, perfect law, he absolutely, perfectly obeyed it. And the night now had come when he prayed this prayer. The night now had come in which he must suffer for the sins of those given to him. And his payment was complete. His payment was complete. When he cried upon the cross, "It is finished." And you and I today, we either believe him and rest in his finished work, or we suffer from a guilty conscience as a rebel trying to pay our own way. One or the other. We either believe him, what he said here, or call into question his truthfulness. He said, "I finished the work." And if we believe him, we rest in that finished work on our behalf. All our salvation, Jesus Christ and what he has done. Now look, if you will, in verse number 6. I have manifested thy name. I have manifested thy name. The word which is here translated manifested is the one also in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16 where the apostle said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." The word means to render apparent. To render apparent. Now, when we read, "I have manifested thy name," God's name, of course, means God's being. I have manifested thy being. The Lord Jesus Christ manifested all there is to know about God. To see him is to see the Father. To know him, and that's the only way men may know him. That's the reason he said, "This is life eternal, that you might know him," that is the Father, "and know him through Christ." There is no knowing God in any other way. Oh, men may know he's the Creator, but I'm talking about knowing him as God and Father. It's only through Christ. "I have manifested thy name." The goodness of God, he has manifested. The goodness of God, which includes his love, his grace, and his mercy. I have manifested thy name. His being here, his being in this world, is a manifestation of the goodness of God. "I have manifested thy name." He manifested the truthfulness of God. That God is faithful to keep his word. Did he promise of old, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent"? Then the Lord Jesus Christ is here to do that very thing. And he is the seed of the woman. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He was not in that covenant with Adam. In Adam, all die. He was not represented by Adam. He's the seed of the woman. He's manifested God's faithfulness, God's truthfulness. And he's manifested the righteousness of God. His holy law, he magnified, he honored, through his perfect obedience. And God's justice was satisfied by suffering unto death on the part of the surety of the everlasting covenant. God's justice can ask for no more. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," God's justice was completely, perfectly satisfied for all of us that he represented, all of his people. All right, notice, if you will, in verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. This is the fourth time he says, I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Now, keep your places here, but let's look back to the book of Deuteronomy and see what this has reference to. In Deuteronomy chapter 18. These are the words of Moses and the words that God spoke to Moses, beginning in verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 18. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee and of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. Those are the words of Moses. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not." This is when God came down on Mount Sinai and appeared there as a burning fire and lightning and thunder, and the people said, "Let us not hear that voice again, lest we die." No animal could touch that mountain and not die. No man could touch that mountain and not die. Why? Because the holy Lord God came down upon that mountain. And to show the distance, not in miles, but the distance between God and men, the holy, holy, holy God and sinful men. And they asked Moses for a mediator. They asked Moses for one who would go between and represent them to God, and that God might come to them through him. The Lord said unto me, "They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words into his mouth." What did the Lord say? "I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command, all that I shall command him. Don't be looking, and I know that you probably don't, but don't ever be fooled by people who say they've got a new revelation from God, they've had a dream or a vision. No, we have all right here in the written word of God. Amen. All. He shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. This points out to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only our great high priest who atoned for our sins, but he also is our prophet. He is the spokesman of God to us, and we must hear him, or God will require it at our hands. He is the one in the Psalms who is described with these words, "Thou," speaking of Christ, "thou art fairer than the children of men." Grace, grace, unmerited favor. Favor not only for the ill-deserving, but favor for the hell-deserving. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Well, did Peter the Apostle say unto the Lord Jesus, Thou hast the words of eternal life. I have given them the words which thou gavest me. All right, now look in verse 12. In verse 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept." I have kept those that thou hast given me. Judas, you know, some people like to read this in a way it's not to be read as though he kept everyone but Judas. That's not what our Lord is saying. He is saying clearly he has kept every one of those that the Father gave unto him in that eternal covenant of grace. Judas, the son of perdition, he did not keep him because he was never given to him as one of his sheep. He was never given to him as one to keep. He was chosen to be one of the 12 apostles, that's true. But he was never chosen to grace and glory. And everyone chosen to grace is also chosen to glory. Those two words are connected, aren't they? And they are connected in every believer's experience. Grace first and glory to come. And it's never only grace and not glory to follow. No, I have kept them which thou hast given me. Those kept by the Lord Jesus Christ are well kept. Did you hear what I said? Those kept by the Lord Jesus Christ are well kept. He said, "They shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand." And listen to this promise, this Old Testament promise concerning those that he keeps. Pictured as a garden, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Isaiah 27 and verse 3, "I, the Lord, I, Jehovah, do keep it. I will water it every moment." Why is it that a person is saved, he doesn't lose his salvation? Because of that water, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who comes to live in every child of God. "I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it." Not only keeps it, but protects it. "I will keep it night and day." Night and day. "Father, I have kept them that thou hast given me." The psalmist said, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel," that's God's church, God's people, "shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper." All right, look now, if you will, in verse 14. "I have given them thy word." This, I believe, refers to the gospel which he gave to his disciples. And he commissioned them to preach. This is a reason for the world's hatred of them. The world hates the gospel. Look at what he said in verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Why would that world hate them? We know for a fact that some people were healed, miraculously healed through the ministry of someone like Peter and John and Paul. My, why would anyone hate them? It's a message. It's a message. Just like they told the Lord Jesus Christ when he asked, for what good work do you stone me? He said, no. They said, no, not a good work. Not a good work. But thou, being a man, makest thyself equal with God. That's the reason we want to stone you, because you profess to be God in the flesh. And that's the reason the world hates the gospel preachers, hated these disciples, not for their good works, no, but for the gospel which he had given unto them. The gospel magnifies the grace of God, and the gospel will not allow man any share in the glory of salvation. It just won't do it. Oh, but my free will. Forget about it. It's your free will that got you into trouble. That's right. When Adam had a free will, it's your free will that got you into trouble. And my friends, it will be God's sovereign will that will get you out of trouble if you are gotten out of trouble. No, it's the Word of God, the gospel. Men hate, and because they hate the gospel, they hate those who preach the gospel. All right, notice in verse 18, I have, this is worded a little different here, but he said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. So we could read it, I have sent them into the world. He sent them into all the world. He did not send them into the world to reform the world so that the world would get better and better and God's kingdom would come upon this earth. No, no. He sent them to preach the gospel, to teach all nations. And he told them, you are to begin at Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. And we read about that in the book of Acts. The Lord Jesus Christ sends his people into the world, a world that hated him and hates them. But he knows how to keep them in this world and to save them from it. He sends his own into the world to be lights. He said, you are the light of the earth, the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You know, in about the second or third century, those who professed to be believers, they got this strange idea, and I believe Satan no doubt had a part in it. The thing they needed to do was separate themselves from the world. Let's move out here into these caves and monasteries and separate ours. No, the Lord Jesus Christ sends his people into the world. As Paul told the church at Philippi, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst, not apart from, not separate from, but in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The darker the place, the greater a small light is. You've been down in those caves, some of you have, where they turn off all the lights and it's pitch black. Just a little match about that size is a lot of light in that place. And God may have placed you where you work or your situation, whatever it is, where you live, in the darkest place. But you are there as a light. And men see. Maybe they don't hear a sermon, but they see a sermon. When they see that you have principles and they're based upon your relationship to God. To God. You're like Joseph. I cannot do this great evil and sin against God. All right, notice 7th and verse 22. I have given them the glory. What is it that the Lord has given to His church that may be called the glory? Well, I'm convinced that this again refers to the gospel. Because in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 11, Paul said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. The gospel is glorious. Never entertain, never, by God's grace, let us never come to the place, any of us, that our hearts are so cold and so dead and so far away from God that we begin to think that the gospel is just commonplace. The gospel is good news. Good news. And I tell you, there's a lot of people in this world who have never heard it. And God has blessed you and me time after time after time to hear the gospel. Amen. It's a glorious message. The gospel is glorious, for it has God the Father as its planner. It is glorious, for it has the Lord of glory as its subject. And it is glorious, for it has the Spirit of glory who applies it. And one last thing in verse 26, I have declared thy name. God has many names. God has many titles. And His names, His titles, they all reveal something about Him. Our Lord said, I have declared thy name. And I think about how many times in the Gospel of John He says, I am. And we know that's the way Moses was told His name, Jehovah, I am. I've manifested thy name. I've declared thy name, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. And He provided the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. And He heals us from all our diseases. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. And He is our peace. He made peace through the blood of His cross. Jehovah Nissi, the banner to which we are all brought. We're all drawn to Him. Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. And the Lord, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And He said, where two or three gather in my name, there am I. But I want to settle on one title, one name. Father. Father. I have declared thy name unto them. Father. You search through the Old Testament and with a few and a very few exceptions, you will never find anyone there calling God his father, her father. But oh, my friends, you and I, he told that woman that day after his resurrection, go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my father and unto your father. He has declared God's name unto us, and we call Him Father. Father. What a wonderful name is that. What a wonderful title. I pray that the Lord would bless the message. I received an email this past week asking for the second part of a message that I preached in 2018 on this prayer. So I know I've preached from this prayer many times. But that's the first time I've used this outline. And it was a blessing to me. I have. I hope and pray it's a blessing to you. The whole prayer is a blessing. Let's sing this hymn, Only a Sinner Saved by Grace. Number 474. Let's stand as we sing.
Not have I gotten, but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded,